Thank you, band, as always, wonderful. Whoop. Well, as most of you know, this month has been Black History Month, and each Sunday we've taken time to acknowledge and recognize a couple of black heroes from the past. Today we want to take a look at Daisy Bates, who was a journalist. Daisy Bates was a prominent civil rights activist and publisher in Arkansas. She and her husband founded the Arkansas State Press, a weekly black newspaper that served as a vocal support for civil rights. Bates became the Arkansas chapter president for the NAACP. She came to national prominence in 1957 when she escorted the Little Rock Nine to school during the contentious integration of Arkansas schools. The journalist continued to fight for the children after their inclusion, and she is honored with a holiday in Arkansas for her civil rights work. Then William Wells Brown. Born into slavery, William Wells Brown is widely regarded as the first black man to publish a novel in the United States. Brown escaped slavery in North Carolina in 1834 and became a noted abolitionist. His most famous work was his controversial novel, Clotel, or The President's Daughter, which traces the lineage of the children Thomas Jefferson had with his slave, Sally Hemings. His brutal, tragic book depicted the harsh realities faced by slaves, even those who were mixed-race children of a U.S. president. Well, we're going to continue today in looking at strength. We have looked at strength and love, and strength and living, and today we want to take a look at strength and learning. Now, I would remind you that we've been using this image of inertia to talk about strength. Inertia is a physical law that says that any body in motion tends to remain in motion and in that direction unless acted upon by an outside force. There's also the other side of inertia, and that is that any object sitting still tends to remain still unless acted upon a force outside of itself. Now, there's inertia about a lot of physical things, a lot of stuff, but there's also inertia about ourselves and about our thoughts, our minds, if you will. Our mind can be in a place where we are moving in one direction at a certain speed and continuously moving. Our minds can also be still, and the inertia manifesting in that way. And strength addresses both of those. And we'll look at that in just a minute. Now, if we look at, first of all, at the inertia represented by motion, we look at the mind in motion and the thoughts that are going on in a certain direction. And in a lot of different areas in your life, this idea of emotion is in effect. If you take, let's go ahead and talk about the what they call it, the elephant in the room, about politics. Each of you has a certain view of politics. Each of you has an idea about politics. And that idea, the working of your mind, is moving in a particular direction at a certain speed with a certain intensity. And many people think that once you're in that groove, you're there, you're stuck there. We have other interests and engagements in our lives as well where this is germane. That is, when we talk about family, we have certain thoughts and feelings about family that get played out in our lives. We had certain thoughts and feelings about what money means to us, what spirituality means to us, what community means to us. And those things are in a track. They're moving, again, at a certain speed, a certain intensity. And what we do very often is think, this is the way it has to be. This is the way it can only be. Many people believe the way they were raised, the way they were taught as children, is the only way. And that inertia is in effect, where that idea, that thought, that belief is in motion, and it's going to stay that way. That's what many people believe. You can see how this applies to a lot of different areas in our life. Let me give you a couple of examples. Some of you may have heard of Derek Black. A book was written about him called Rising Out of Hatred. Derek Black was the godson of David Duke. His name might be more familiar to you. He was the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. And this young man who was David Duke's grandson, or not grandson, godson, was going to be the one next one to step up and take leadership in this hate-based organization. And then an interesting thing happened. David Duke went to college, and he got exposed to other ideas, other ways of thinking, other ways of living. And there was one particular Jewish group that kind of adopted him. Everybody else, when they found out who he was, really shunned him, wouldn't have anything to do with him. But this Jewish group kind of took him in. And through their caring about him, he began to realize the fallacy of his way of living and his family's way of living. And he changed his mind. He turned his back on those hatred, that way of living, and he changed it. That inertia of his family's tradition being racist and hateful, moving in that direction, got changed by the strength that was within him. Now, I didn't find anything about that this change in him was particularly spiritual, outwardly anyway. But there it was. This quality that we call strength was being manifested in him because the strength overcame the inertia of his family's traditions and changed the direction of that and changed the content of his mind and changed the very way that he lived because of that strength rising up and moving out to change his mind and change the direction of his mind. And that was really significant for that to happen. Another story that's a little closer to home, in my church in Colorado, there was a young lady who came to church. Her name was Rebecca. Her family was very much involved, deeply involved in the civil rights movement of the 60s and 70s, and her family was atheist. And Rebecca, by way of one of her friends, came into Unity one day and found Unity. And through learning what she became a devoted student of Unity teachings. And through what she learned, she was able to shift her atheism. That was that way of thinking that set in her mind that was going in a certain direction at a certain speed with a certain intensity. But she found the strength that welled up in her to change that, to move from that track of being atheist to embracing Unity and learning so much about the truth of Unity. Well, at that time, we were every year during Holy Week. Holy Week was an interesting time then. It's a very busy time. We had services on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, three services on Sunday, and a whole bunch in between. And my office manager one time called it Holy Hell Week instead of Holy Week because there was so much going on. One year after Holy Week, I went up to Denver and got a hotel room and slept for 16 hours afterwards. So it was a wonderful time, but there it was. But during Holy Week, we always had a Seder service, you know, the Jewish celebration. And sometimes we would do a full Passover with the meal and everything. And Rebecca learned more about Judaism in Unity than she did in her Jewish family. Of course, she was ethnically Jewish, but they were not practicing. So she learned all this wonderful stuff about Judaism at Unity. And she learned so much and got so enamored by it, she left Unity and went to be a practicing Jew. Now, what I saw happening in her life was strength. It took that strength within her to face her family tradition of atheism and embrace Unity. And it took that strength within her then to look at Unity and say, thank you, but where I'm really going is back into Judaism as a practicing Jew. And that spiritual strength welled up within her and allowed her to make those decisions and move in that direction to change the inertia of her life. And she was very glad for it. There was another young man, I believe his name was Derek, and he came to Unity really very, 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 very angry because of his upbringing. He grew up in a traditional, a fundamentalist Christian home. And he was taught all the, you know, the Bible is absolutely true and all those kind of things, that little bitty tinge of anger and hate connected to it. And what he received was not good. He did not feel good about that. But that was his inertia. That was the movement of his mind, was what he had been exposed to. And he too, through the help of a friend, showed up at Unity one day and began to hear things that were so very different than what he had learned. And he embraced it, and I saw the strength well up in within him that challenged that family tradition. And he became an ardent Unity student. But an interesting thing happened, that when he got into unity and he began to learn the truth, he began to heal. And his hurt was healed. His anger was healed. And his feelings about his family were healed. And he left unity and went back to the church that he came out of because he was healed. And he stayed for a while, and then he showed up again in unity. And he said he had taken the healing that he had experienced in unity back to his family and worked through all of his feelings about his family, and then he was ready to come back to unity again. So I saw in him that strength welling up, the strength to, in the first place, challenge his religious tradition and come into unity, and then to go back and challenge his family itself. And that strength within him allowed him to do that in such a way that it brought healing to his family too, and not more conflict. And when he returned to unity, he was just bright and glowing. And that strength was operating fully and completely within him. Another example of this power of strength showing up and causing great things to happen. Now, these examples I've shared with you were instances where there was something in motion. There was an idea. There was a teaching, there was a tradition that was in motion that needed to be changed by an outside force, which was the strength that was present. But we also said inertia involves not only movement, but it involves being still. The physical law of inertia says if an object is sitting still, it's going to stay that way until it is acted upon by an outside force. And with our minds sometimes, there are places where our minds are sitting perfectly still and doing nothing. That's okay. But to change that, it takes something to happen. Because very often when our minds are still and not doing anything, it's because we think we can't do something. Or that something is beyond us. It's too much for us. So we do nothing. And it is then that we find that spiritual quality of strength welling up within us to overcome that inertia of sitting still, to believe that we can do something that is significant, that is important. A lot of times when people first come into unity, I get to talk with them, and I always ask them, you know, how did you get here? What was going on in your life that brought you to this place? And what was your spiritual background, your religious background? And very often people will say, well, I had no background at all. Didn't go to church. Either their family didn't go to church, or else when they got old enough, they left the church and never went back. And they said, well, I don't have any background. And I usually say, good. Because that's that much we won't have to mess with. We won't have to fight with. We won't have to change that. We can start from scratch. And you'd think that would be wonderful and easy, but it's not always easy. Because starting from scratch means I don't have anything here. Where do I start? How do I start? What's right? What's wrong? What will work for me? So even those times when we're starting with complete stillness, our strength wells up to change that, to set our mind, to set our thoughts in motion, moving in a certain direction. And that can be daunting. It can be frightening. It can be difficult for us. But the strength that is within us allows us to do that. I've seen a couple of people come through here who, when they first encountered unity, they were just all excited. And then they realized how big metaphysics was. And how involved metaphysics is, and how much there is to learn, and they just felt completely and totally overwhelmed. And I encourage it, hang on, keep doing what you're doing, keep learning, keep reading, keep studying, keep praying, keep meditating, keep talking, and lo and behold, they became some of the strongest unity students that we have because of that strength that is inherently within us. Now remember when I talked several weeks ago about the foundation of strength, what strength is really all about. Strength is not something you get somewhere else. Strength is something you come here with. Many people aren't aware of it, and part of what we need to do is become aware of it, and that is a process in and of itself. But it is there. It is in us, always there. And what I often see, as I've already described in these instances, is that strength rising up inside somebody, sometimes because they're deliberate about it, and sometimes because it just happens, because it is their nature, and it rises up. And when that strength rises up, we face the things that we need to change, those things already in motion that we need to alter, and those things sitting still that we need to set in motion. So when you find something that is sitting still, when you find an empty place in your mind, if you will, a a place where your mind is sitting still. You know that the strength is there within you to do what you need to do. Bev and I have joked about the fact if we're going to retire and live in South Florida, we really ought to learn to speak Spanish. And I took Spanish in high school 100 years ago, and I can say I remember what I learned from Sesame Street about Spanish, but I feel intimidated. That's one of the reasons it's so easy for kids to learn new languages, because they don't know they don't know, and they pick it up really quickly. And when we get to be an adult, we say, you mean I got to start from scratch? I mean, I don't even know where to begin. And it's really overwhelming. And it is then that that strength rises up within us. And I do trust that that strength in me and Bev is going to rise up. And one day we're going to be speaking Spanish to each other and to you. But it takes that strength to be active to make that happen. And you can think of other areas in your life where you want to embrace something new. You want to set something in motion that you don't have right now. Some of you may be wanting to play a musical instrument and start from scratch. And that's challenging. It really is. But you can, because that strength is within you. That strength can come and set in motion your mind in that direction, in that goal, in that desire to play a musical instrument, to learn a new language, to travel. That's something else that many people want to do and are afraid to do and don't know how to even begin. Some people want to get a computer and they're scared of it, which is perfectly understandable. But the strength is within us to face that too. So whatever the situation is that needs to be started, wherever, whatever direction it is that your mind needs to go, the strength is within you to make that happen. The strength to see what is true, to see what is there, and to put that in motion and to make that happen. So as we think about, finish up thinking about strength during this month, just know it's always there to be utilized in your life, waiting to be utilized in your life. Those things, those ideas, those thoughts in your mind that are moving in a certain direction, they can be changed because of your strength. Those ideas, those thoughts you have that are sitting still in your mind now can be set in motion because of your strength. It is there. It is yours. It is active. And it can be done. That is a great blessing for us. That is a great plus for us living the spiritual life, being able to bring that strength up and see it work in our life. Look around and see it in other people's lives. It's inspiring. And if it's working in your life, you're inspiring someone else too. They're seeing it in you. And they can do the same thing you have done. So let us do that together. Let us be strong together and let that strength move in and through us. I want to close with a poem by Langston Hughes, which is another well-known black author. He died in 1967. I too sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes, but I laugh and I eat well and I grow strong. Tomorrow, I'll be at the table when company comes. Nobody'll dare say to me, eat in the kitchen then. Besides, they'll see how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I too am America. God bless you, my friends.
Do you have those references? Well, ¿qué pasa? Hola. And that's pretty much the extent of my Spanish. So, we each have, we've been married 5 years now, and we came into this marriage and we found that each of us has a complete set of one of these Spanish learning programs that we've paid hundreds of dollars for. So we dust it off every now and then. I know that Lawrence referred to quite a few people and books that some of you are going to want a refresher on. What were the names of those? The one by David Black and Langston Hughes, and of course earlier on the one by the man who was an emancipated slave who wrote about the slavery of and mixed races of the president. So just know that on our website, under that hamburger menu, there's something about services that may say, or I think it says services. You can click on that, and every week, our wonderful John Guerin, who manages our live stream, clips out the audio portion of Lawrence's message. So it's always about 20 minutes, and it's on there by the date. And if you want a refresher during the week, just go to our website and click on that, and you can listen to that message as many times as you like. You can also go to our YouTube channel. We'd like for you to subscribe there if you would. Go to our YouTube channel, and you are able to search for Unity of Pompano Spiritual Center, and by date, search for what you're looking for. Those who are coming to the membership meeting today, we will have that link to get to our YouTube channel immediately. And we'll see if Darby can't put that in happenings one of these weeks coming up, so that you have access to ways to keep in touch with us. And there are also ways that will help spread the word virtually to get out our message to the world. So now is our time to appreciate the Unity message, the Unity movement, and Unity of Pompano. We really appreciate you for your giving. As you mostly know, this is our only source of income. And although income was down in this past year, you've been very faithful, and we've been able to continue on. We'll share those details at the annual meeting. But for now, I'd ask you to feel the inertia within you. Where are you with the prosperity teachings? Do you believe them? Do you believe that as you give, you receive? Can you let go of fear of giving to your spiritual center and reach into the value that you receive here and give accordingly? For those who are here this morning, there's the offering plate right there where you can drop off a check. Those online can certainly go to that hamburger menu and go to the donate button. You can also arrange bill pay with your bank. So many ways to give, and each of those ways we appreciate, because we know there are many ways you can spend your money, and we appreciate you putting it into your spiritual growth. So let's close the offering with our blessing, which is one we've used for a couple years now, switching out from good to strength. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack, and we allow strength to unfold in our lives. Strength is ours. Strength and more strength is ours. An ever-increasing strength is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this strength. We feel it, we experience it, we freely give it, and it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.